Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and if you are listening in your car right now, you're not alone, and you probably don't need me to tell you that. Traffic is back. Jonathan Gulliver, Highway Administration for the Massachusetts Department of Transportation, said back in June that, quote, traffic for all intents and purposes is back to about 2019 levels on most roadways in Massachusetts at this point, end quote. Chelsea Police Chief Brian Kies says backups in some cities have been worse even than before the pandemic, which begs the question, why aren't more people riding the T instead of in cars? Well, here to talk with us about the MBTA is General Manager Steve Poftak. Steve, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks again for having me.
Glad to have you, Steve. Okay, so I just asked kind of a big picture existential ridership question, but I do really think we actually have to start, Steve, with the events of the last week and a half or so. There was an escalator malfunction at the Back Bay station. It injured nine, left a pretty disturbing scene. There was the Red Line derailment at Broadway station. Steve, I know it's going to sound sensational, but I am going to read you some of the quotes from witnesses because I want to give you a chance to talk to our listeners directly about this. So let's talk about the escalator accident. Witnesses described it as like the Tower of Terror in Disney World. Blood everywhere, heads cut open, small girl at the bottom laying in a pool of blood, pretty horrific. Talk to our listeners. What do you want them to know? And what can you tell us about the investigation into why the escalator malfunctioned?
Sure. I can tell you that investigations into each one of these incidents are both ongoing. And I don't have conclusions that I can share. There's also some issues around litigation that limit what I can say. What I can say more broadly is that we at the MBTA have been investing in modernizing the system. We have been addressing safety issues. You know, we've essentially almost doubled the size of the safety department since I started. We have worked to build a stronger culture of safety. We review safety hotline issues every morning with our senior team. But it's clear, it's clear that it's not enough, and there's still more work to be done. And I think there's no one at the MBTA who thinks we're done. We need to do more work to make this system as safe as it possibly can be.
So I'm going to invite listeners for calls about all things T. You've said you'll take some calls, so 1-800-423-8255. Now, given what you just said, Steve, you may tell me you can't answer this question, but I'm going to ask one more. The MBTA has said that the escalator had been inspected 3 weeks prior to the incident, and Joe Pescatore had listed a series of dates of inspections of the escalator. So 3 weeks after an inspection, it breaks. What to think about that, and does it tell a story about infrastructure that is aging and needs to be invested in?
You know, I always think it's important in these instances to actually understand and comment that we need to have all the facts, and I don't have them all right now. I can confirm exactly what you said, that this was certified by a state oversight authority on July 31st. It passed inspection. It had received regular preventive maintenance on a monthly basis. So, we have a very strong oversight regime of our escalators where, I know every morning to two decimal places how much uptime our escalators have had, and then I know exactly which escalators have gone down, have stopped working, and for how long. So this is one we're really digging into, because we do have a very robust oversight regime of these particular assets, and we're trying to understand what happened in this situation.
And I recognize there are concerns about legal proceedings, lawsuits, but have you had a chance to talk to any of the families who were affected by the incident, who were injured or were on that escalator?
I have not, no.
Okay. So let's talk about the Red Line derailment at Broadway Station last Tuesday. Nobody was seriously injured in that incident. It caused delays. Any updates on what happened there, why the derailment happened, what the implications are?
No, I don't have any updates at this time. You know, it is something that we continue to look into, and we will be making a disclosure. We will be sort of once we have a final set of findings and in cooperation with our state oversight partners, we will be talking about the cause of this derailment in the coming weeks.
Okay, and I'm going to stay on these a little bit longer. I know I'm hammering at you, but this is a set of things our listeners haven't had a chance to talk to you or hear from you about. You had to pull Red and Orange Line cars off the rails, new cars, after derailment back in March. This was not one of those new cars. Does this derailment affect the timeline at all for deployment of new cars?
No, it does not affect the timeline for deployment of new cars. Right now we are looking later in the year to get the new Red Line train set back out on the Red Line. We do currently, in fact, right now we're running three new train sets on the Orange Line.
Okay, and last one is the Green Line crash at the end of July. That crash injured more than 20 people. The driver in that case was going triple the speed limit when it crashed into another train. MBTA has already been working on the Green Line train protection system, and that was after recommendation after high-profile accidents in 08 and 09. It's expected to be ready in 2024. Talk about that gap between the recommendations after the accidents in 08 and 09, and are there other future plans for train safety based on past experience?
Yeah, obviously it is, the distance from the initial recommendation to implementation is longer than we would have liked. It has been a complicated process to come up with a train protection system that will not only fulfill the safety, the safety imperative that the system actually does, but also allow us to preserve some level of headways that our customers have gotten accustomed to, and frankly, that the demand suggests we need. So getting those two things to work together, right? The Green Line is because you have two car train sets, you have many more trains out on the system as opposed to the Red, Orange, and Blue Line, where you have fewer trains, but they have more cars. So actually developing a system that works for the Green Line and fulfills that safety imperative has taken a lot of time. That said, I have a meeting on my calendar tomorrow where we're going to review the Green Line train protection system and also review ways that we can accelerate its implementation.
800-423-8255. We are on with Steve Poftak, MBTA General Manager. Joe is on the line in Sharon. Joe, go ahead.
Hi, Steve. I'm calling because I spend a reasonable amount of time in Europe and I see the train systems and the public transit over there. And it's clear to me that there's a lot more being invested per rider in European countries, at least Northern Europe, than we're doing here in Massachusetts. And I look at these accidents and issues, and it always comes down to me that it seems that we're just underinvesting, and there's not really a way to solve it without a proper level of investment. So two questions. One, do you have any indication as to the funding of public transportation in Europe per rider versus the MBTA? And secondly, do you see more money coming into the system to address these problems, or are we just going to try to solve them without doing what we need to do?
Joe, those are two great questions. Your first one's really interesting. I do not have that at my fingertips. However, I can tell you that we are investing at unprecedented rates into the system. A decade ago, the T spent less than $400 million per year in capital investment. Last year, we spent $1.93 billion. This year, we're currently on track to spend $2 billion, and we aim to sustain that level over a number of years. We have decades of underinvestment that we are up against. It's 1 or 2 years of this extraordinary level is not going to suffice. We're going to have to do it for a while. I think we are also experimenting, and I think the public has been, very tolerant as we experiment with more dramatic ways to invest in the system, with some of the shutdowns and diversions that we've done in a bunch of different places that allow us to get more work done. So we are investing, you know, almost five times more than we did a decade ago, but we're going to need to keep this level of investment up for quite some time to get the type of modern system that I think our customers deserve and, frankly, our workforce deserves.
So, Steve, I want to stay with that picture. So a couple of things. One, in the wake of these accidents over the last week or two, a number of advocates, policy makers, policy recommenders have been really sounding a cry for increased investment from the legislature and the governor for long-term T financing. The Mass Taxpayers Foundation published a report last month worrying about fiscal calamity for the T, both in lack of ridership and a potentially $13 billion shortfall in long-term repairs. And you've talked extensively with us in the past about ridership not returning to previous levels and the threats that that creates for long-term budgets. I wanted to ask you a two-part question, right? And then you can go at it. To what extent is ridership the funding mechanism that is going to get the T where it needs to be? And to the extent that it isn't, are you hearing anything differently from those who hold the power of the purse in the wake of what's been happening in the last couple weeks?
And let me, you've asked a two-part question, let me give you a two-part answer. First, on the operating budget, we currently have federal funding in hand to get us likely through a good part of fiscal year 24. We're in fiscal year 22 right now. This gives us some time to understand how ridership is or is not going to come back, and also, you know, what do we need to do to potentially attract new riders to the system. So we do have a need to solve some sort of shortfall in the operating budget, but we do have a couple years to figure it out. On the capital side, we have sources for the capital budget identified for this year and the next few years. In the longer term, we are going to have to identify some new sources of capital funding. Obviously, we're hopeful federal legislation is going to be part of that answer. And, you know, I would say that, you know, the T has never had a fully funded 10-year capital plan. It's always been a rolling challenge or a rolling process of identifying that funding in the out years. So I don't want to downplay the fact that we do have some needs in the out years, but that is a typical state of affairs. I think we've been really transparent about the types of investments we would like to make and the scale of those investments. So, you know, we do look forward to an ongoing conversation about how best to position the T to serve our ridership.
We've got about a minute left. How do you get riders back on the T? What do you do as the MBTA to convince riders to come back?
Well, I mean, I think part of it is a lot of people are riding the T, right? I think sometimes that gets lost. I think there is an audience of folks who are not back in their offices who may think the T is completely empty. Our buses are at about 60% capacity. We've got certain routes that are up in the 90s in terms of capacity. Subway systems at about 45% capacity and commuter rails at 40%. So there's people on the T. I think if and when offices open, we will see more people come back. Again, I think it's an open question. Will they come back 5 days a week, or will they come back on some sort of hybrid schedule? My sense, it will be the latter. I think we're also looking at a couple different things. How do we recast the bus system to get more people to more of the places they want to go? And, you know, we've redone the commuter rail schedule to more of a regional rail schedule. And we continue to think about how do we make it less of a commuter rail built around a 9-to-5 workday and more of a regional rail, providing more transportation options for people.
All right. Steve Poftek, General Manager of the MBTA. Hey, Steve, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.